Hi, good evening, everybody, and welcome to what is, we've had quite a few of these, 6, 7, 8, 9, we're losing count. We're doing these meetings month after month. Welcome to this meeting where we share information in a very informal kind of way of how we work with Soma and with Sacred Mushrooms. We're still waiting for a couple of people, including Monica. There are one or two that have been in touch with me that they would still like to join us. I've started the recording. I did note in the emails that sent out, I do split the audio from the video, and it's only the audio that is shared. So if there are any privacy concerns, please let me know, and we'll take it from there. But a reminder that we don't use the video for any other purpose, and that's important that we're transparent with you in that way. My name is Anton.
I'm Rodi Ann.
And we're hosting this meeting along with a team of experienced Soma watchers. I'd like to shortly ask each of them just to introduce themselves. And we're going to share information about how we work and answer any questions that you may have in a very informal kind of way. So if you want to interrupt us at any point, there are two ways to do that. Stick your hand in the air. We'll try and spot it on the screen. And Zoom also has a function where you can wave your hand. It may come up in a blue or a yellow, depending on what the color is. And we will take a turn to pass over to you. And please feel free to interrupt and ask any questions that you have. But first, I want to have the watchers or the panelists, as we call them, for these meetings, just introduce themselves, let us know where you are, and a little bit about your experience with mushrooms. And we'll start with Rodi Ann, who hates being asked to go first, but she's right here with me. Hi, Rodi Ann.
Good evening, everybody. I've become used to the fact that I've just got to resign myself to Anton's always going to ask me to go first. So the joke between us is, so what would you like me to say? And of course, he never answers. I always have to say my own thing. Anyway, so a little bit about me. I am fortunate enough to live just a little over an hour outside of Cape Town on a beautiful piece of land that I'm blessed enough to find myself on. And my journey with mushrooms started probably 10 years ago. I would have to double check that, but it's been a long and slow journey, and it's something that I'm extremely grateful for that I have in my life. I wouldn't change it for anything, and here I find myself doing the best I possibly can to assist people in feeling comfortable in partaking and let's say taking a step into this direction and spending time with themselves and learning a little bit more about yourself through the use of sacred mushrooms. So thank you for being here, and I'm very glad that you're interested in this extremely beautiful gift that we've been given. So looking forward to spending a little bit more time with you this evening.
Thank you, Rodi. I'm going to continue in the order as they appear on my screen. Right next door to us is Bianca. How are you, Bianca?
Thanks. Hi. I'm doing fine. Thank you. I'm joining tonight from Grotto Bay. And my journey with mushrooms started when I was 20. And it was more like I used it more from a party point of view. And then I stopped using for a long time. And then I got introduced to Monica about 8 years ago. And I've been doing it since regularly. And so, yeah, and I'm here and I'm happy to join. And I'm looking forward to hearing what questions we can answer. So thank you.
Thank you, Bianca. Margie, hi.
Hi, I'm Margie and I'm based in Cape Town. And I started using mushrooms largely out of curiosity about 2.5 years ago and wanting to, also feeling quite disconnected and wanting to shake something up. And it really has shaken me up. And I'm now started becoming a watcher, which I'm really enjoying as well. And it's just, I feel like now I'm really settling into a journey. And see what comes up every time. So that's me.
Thank you, Margie. And next to Margie is Roger. Roger, you've been busy for quite a few months. We're really happy to see you again. How are you?
I'm very well. My name is Roger. I had my first soma experience possibly, I think about six, seven years ago. At Monica's place in Somerset West. It started a process. I used to say it changed my life, but now I'm inclined to say that it facilitated me changing my life. And so for the last 6 years, I've been on a journey of going into my own consciousness, of healing, of profound healing. And I had the honor and privilege of being schooled by Monica. And by Anton and Radiane in the art of watching. And so I was a regular watcher with Monica for a good period of a good two years. In the meantime, I've moved up to Limpopo, the other side of the world. I'm looking forward to participating in tonight's discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Really happy to see you again. Kerry, good evening, Kerry.
Hi, Anton, and hi, everybody. I'm in Cape Town, and my journey with Soma began just over 2 years ago. I had a in-person retreat with Monica and the Watchers at Somaland. And I came to Soma for healing, for personal healing, and to deal with the difficulties in my life. And as I've worked with Soma, I found that the focus has shifted. And I have, since last year, all of my journeys have been online. I think I was one of the first people in the pilot group that happened. And because I really felt that I wanted to continue the journey. And now I'm moving into the watcher space, which is, I like the way that Margie expressed it. It's an extension. It's still part of the journey. It's bringing the same energy, but at a different level. And so I'm interested in hearing everybody's questions this evening.
Thank you, Kerry. For understanding for everybody here, it's quite clear that this special group of people of watchers are from very wide and diverse walks of life. We're all normal people that have arrived to expand our consciousness and learn about Soma and sacred mushrooms. Many of us have come through the physical gatherings and the physical retreats with Monica in Somerset West. And as time is going on, people are developing like Margie and Kerry, where we've had a scenario where we haven't been able to gather within physical groups. In the past, for those that don't know, Monica has been working with Soma and Sacred Mushrooms at Somerset West at her home, as we refer to as Somaland, for the last 11, nearly 12 years. And in that time has hosted over 350 physical groups of people that have requested to come into her home and work with Soma and Sacred Mushrooms. When lockdown arrived, it wasn't possible for people to gather physically. And once again, responding to the call and the request of, I would like to take sacred mushrooms and and connect with Soma, how can you help me do that when I cannot meet up in a group? So we'll give you a little bit of information about that as well as this evening goes on. But a reminder, we're just normal people. We each have our own experiences, very much as you arrived at one point here as a first time. And we have some people that we know here that have joined us this evening. There's Yannis, there's Detoy, Gordon, who have worked with us before and then become part of our family. And we're all from such diverse walks of life. And as such, there's this magic of a group that comes together who can share their experiences and share about our journeys. So each of us are sharing from experience. Our knowledge doesn't necessarily come from a book. It comes from sharing it with each other, and it comes from learning it in a practical environment. Some of us have watched many times in physical spaces and also in a remote online providing that support scenario. And our teaching comes from experience. And it's very difficult to pass that on other than just share information and respond to people asking for that information. And that's what we'd like to do this evening. We're going to start off and create a bit of a guideline for the meeting by first giving you an overview of what a Soma retreat is, followed by a bit more of information, what changes when we talk about an online Soma at home environment, what kind of support and guidance we provide in addition to what one would do for a physical gathering. Melissa, I think it was, no, it wasn't Melissa, it was another person asked about under what circumstances would one refer or prefer to work from home, or under what circumstances would you prefer not to. We'll try and cover all of that as well. And then thirdly, we'll speak a bit about microdosing and how that supports the work of a large dose that we work with in a retreat environment. And then lastly, maybe some of the legal concerns is what was raised in asking what is the status, what is the position with legality and use of sacred mushrooms in South Africa and or around the world. So there we go. Shall I start and give a little overview of what is a Soma retreat? Maybe firstly, I can ask with just a wave of hands, who has not worked with mushrooms at all before? From the 50-50 that is on the screen, Jan, Helena, and there, most people have Hein, Andre, thank you, and Melissa. So it's always like a 50-50.
Yeah.
And it's always a good indication because Often things like mushrooms come up in a entertainment environment, in a outdoor party environment, often out in nature, or we arrive at it much later in life. I personally also arrived at it quite late in life as something that crossed my path. I wouldn't have labeled myself as a spiritual seeker at that point in time, but there was a curiosity that came up to experience something different, and it was presented with Monica in Somerset West, and we follow that path, and this growth in consciousness starts happening, and we meet this family or tribe, not of people only working with mushrooms, but of people that are on a journey of expanding their consciousness, discovering spirituality, and that is what a Soma retreat is about. It's not fun and games. It's not a party. It's a deeply spiritual experience, but not a religious experience. We are not defining ourselves with Christianity or any other religion. Spirituality and connecting with your higher force, the divine force that's within you, is what a Soma experience and what a Soma retreat is about. And us as watchers and the environment that we present, we take ourselves out of that equation. So you won't find any symbols, you won't find any signs, You won't find Jainism, you won't find anything in printing, anything in the environment for a Soma retreat specifically, that may create a box or a boundary that doesn't fit anybody and everybody. And that's why when we have a group gathering, be it physical or in an at-home experience, we have people that arrive from all walks of life and they connect in the most amazing way. Because we open the door and we allow everybody to arrive. We're not defining ourselves any differently. Back and Paul on the watches, maybe one by one, how would you add to that rough outline and a definition that I gave of a Soma retreat or Soma experience? How would you add to it, Rodia?
Well, I think if you were to mean, how would I add to it? There are the differences between an experience where you go to Monica's home, which is Soma Land, where you've prepared yourself, you get into the car and you arrive at her home and you find a place to settle down and you take your sacrament that evening and then you have your experience and you have a watcher there to take care of you. And I'm sure one of the other watchers will explain what we mean when we say watcher. And then they will be there to assist you through the evening and there's a lovely soup and then you have your experience and you go home. And that is a really, really quick Reader's Digest. I mean, if you've got anybody who's been there, they'll say, well, already, and you've missed out a lot because there is a lot that happens in between. But overall, that's what happens. Whereas you at home, I, for one, have done a lot more watching at home experiences as opposed to hours of watching physically a lot more. And someone who's journeyed a lot more at home would be able to explain the differences a lot clearly. But from what I've experienced and from what I've heard from people reporting back to us, you are able to let go in your own space a lot easier because you're doing pretty much the same thing when it comes to the nitty-gritty of taking your sacrament and going through the experience and being and having your experience with the divine, as Anton mentioned, however you would like to label it. And you're doing all those things of eating and all of that at home in your own space. But then here's the difference from us doing these online or at home experiences, moving away from online, you now have the support of a WhatsApp group for the week before. So before, when you would just arrive at Monica and you'd have to have the courage of, you'd spoken to her during the week, maybe leading up, and this way around, with us doing these at home experiences, you now have the support of us being there for you for a week before. So I've now given you a very, very brief overview of the two differences between the experiences that we are offering support with. And I think Anton can add to that.
The adding to, you started defining the difference between working at a Soma retreat in a physical gathering versus what has happened in the last 18 months, and that's the growing with everybody that's working at home throughout South Africa and the world. Roger, I see you've put your finger up there. I'm gonna hand over to you shortly. But those are very much the differences. We're in a physical retreat. We're creating a space, a physical space, where you get to work with sacred mushrooms in a space that's looked after by people that are very experienced in what they're doing. And when that has not been possible, we're now stepping back a few days or stepping a few days forward and say, well, we're now going to assist you with your preparations for the week before you can create that space. And what do you need to know? And what do you need to do to ensure that you're safe, your space has been prepared safely? And what else do you need to know? And that includes maybe having someone with you, especially for first timers, we recommend them to have someone with them, or if you are anxious about being alone at home. And that was one of the points that came up about when would you and wouldn't you recommend it? Those are certainly the two circumstances. And when you are experiencing mushrooms for the first time, and you have someone with you, that person that's there as support, we like to include them in the communication group so that we're helping them prepare and letting them know what
they also have support.
There we go. And also throughout the week and also during the experience on the Saturday night. Mm. Roger, can I hand over to you?
Yeah. What I wanted to say was that amongst ourselves as watchers over a long period of time, there's been a debate about what we actually call ourselves. Michael Pollan, for example, might refer to us as being guides, whereas we purposefully use the word watchers. Because even in a physical ceremony, the art of watching is to allow you, the journeyer, to go as deep as you can into your own consciousness. And it's not for us to guide you. You don't actually need our assistance in guiding you. All that you need is an ability to feel vulnerable, or allow yourself to be as vulnerable as possible, and to allow the spirit of the mushroom to take you wherever you need to be taken. And it somehow it tends to know where to take you. So the point I'm trying to make is that if you're going to use mushrooms in the Soma way, it's very much a personal inward journey. And to a large extent, you actually need very little help in that process at all. When we started off learning the art of watching, the first lesson we had to learn was to do as little as possible. Every time that we felt that there's a need to maybe intervene or assist somebody, is to actually resist that temptation, because all that you need is yourself and the spirit of the mushroom. So even in a physical environment where we would be together, as a watcher, our job is to do as little as possible and to allow you to experience the full experience of going deep into your own consciousness. So in the online experience, again, all that we try to do is try and create a setting for you in your own individual home where you can allow yourself to be as vulnerable as possible and to go as deep as you can into your own consciousness and to explore issues that you need to explore. I'm going to leave it at that for now.
Thank you, Roger. It's quite important from a watcher point of view for people that arrive, especially for the first time, and we're preparing them to work at home, and they may have a companion with them, about what that person's role is. And how they help you through the experience. And it's very similar from a watcher in that we're looking after this physical realm. There's nothing that we do to guide you or to correct in whatever you're experiencing. But in this physical realm that the body still remains, we're there to specifically look after that. Kerry, would you like to add to that?
I do. Most of my journeys have been at home. And I think one of the most powerful things for me has always been the connection with the watchers. And it's an energetic connection. And there have been times in my journeys where I've needed to get myself out of bed and go to the loo. And energetically, there is Soma's there, but the energy of the watchers is there as well. So the at-home experience, you are alone, but you're also not alone. You're very much supported by the people who are there to help you.
Yes, throughout the week before, the 5-6 days before the event, we start gathering in a WhatsApp group from the Monday before, and we start to get to know each other. And offer and answer any questions. But once we've had a Zoom meeting on the Saturday night, which also starts at 7 o'clock, and we've connected again in this kind of way, once that meeting is over, we're then turning into our own space, as Kerry said. Yet we're still connected. The group of watchers are available throughout the night in a support line kind of way. We're not switching off and watching a movie. We're very specifically present to that group, and available to receive a call, to receive a text. Sometimes we have conversations, and we're just present. And And that's to the journeyer and also to the companion. If the companion is concerned, the person that I'm sitting with is feeling nauseous, is that normal? What should I do? We're there to answer those questions and provide as much support as we can all the way and through until the next morning. And then we have another Zoom meeting at 8 o'clock the next morning, where we then get to share about our experiences and remain connected as a group for a while to keep sharing our experiences until people start finding their feet again over the next few days and weeks and months. Because what we experience in a summer retreat is with us for a long time. There's keys, there's messages, things that unfold, we understand ourselves that arrive days later, weeks later, months later, as we grow in ourselves and we grow through that experience. Thank you. Are there any questions at this point? Please feel free to interrupt and just stick your hand up and we'll take it from there. The subtle difference or the comparison between the physical retreats, and we're focusing more on the summer at home experience now, because the physical retreats are still on hold in Somerset West specifically. I've mentioned that is where most of us have received most of our introduction to Soma and Sacred Mushrooms with Monica. There have also been the retreat which we've taken around the country, which Rodianne and I have done, and Roger has joined us in the past for those as well. We once or twice a year, we've traveled to Joburg, we've traveled to the Garden Route, and we've hosted events there. Those events are on hold at the moment, and we do look forward to that changing. But there is something with the ability and the profoundness of working on your own, which even for an experienced journey, as someone who has journeyed in a group, in a physical group several times, multiple times, when discovering that they are able to look after themselves in an experience like this, they get to take those messages that they receive and take it into the real world. And that's how this journey unfolds. There's a couple here. Giannis, I'm not going to pick on you, and Detoy, I'm not going to need you to jump in at all, but you're both testaments to that in how that unfolds and steps forward. It's normally when the changes in our life are not as dramatic, and yet they are incredibly dramatic. It's this change of direction that happens in a subtle way of taking multiple different decisions. So when you've got a yes, no, or a left, right, a multiple collection of making a different decision, which you know is best for you, results in a different direction that your life and your life path starts taking. And that's when people start looking at you after a couple of weeks, not because you said you're going to do things different, but because you are doing things different. You're not screaming at the guy that cuts in front of you at the traffic anymore. And as a result, you're a pretty nice guy when you get to the office, and the people that you're working with and your colleagues are saying, you've been in a pretty good mood for the last couple of weeks or the last few months. That's how the changes with mushrooms works. It's not a dramatic, this fearful response. My mother is one of them. She says, I don't want to go through any dramatic changes. I'm too old. It's too late in life. I'm happy with things how they are. Yet we're often receiving comments where people are saying, and you'll read, and Michael Pollan mentions it, that each person should allow themselves the opportunity to work with sacred mushrooms or psychedelics at least once in their life. Because it creates this opportunity for learning which you wouldn't get otherwise. Okay, any other watchers would like to add to that? Bianca, you've been quiet so far. If there's anything you'd like to add, please let us know.
Yeah, thank you. I think both sides have a pro and a con, but the more often we are part of these online journeys, the more I see the pro actually on doing the journey at home, because it gives you the freedom to really express yourself, and you don't have the feeling of needing to hold emotions back or not to fiddle or not to, because there's a whole lot of other people in the room. So having your own space gives you that freedom. And I think at the same time, even if you're on your own, having the phone and having the watches right there, basically that's how it works. Indirectly, you can connect to the watchers much more than actually at a Soma retreat, because there you also need to be quiet. So more and more, I actually see the online journeys as incredibly beneficial. Yeah. So I think my view on that has changed. I always thought not quite, but I think it's actually much greater than we expected. So I just wanted to add that. So.
Yeah, if I can maybe add, going back to when we were doing physical ceremonies at Somaland with Monica, you would see journeyers coming for the first time. And there was always a sense of intrepidation amongst them, a sort of fear of the unknown. You're not quite sure what you're going to experience, and so a large part of the job as a watcher in that environment is to try and create the setting where you feel as a journeyer that you can let yourself go, that you can be as vulnerable as possible, that you're in a safe environment. And I suppose this sense of intrepidation in many respects might be greater if you're going to do this online for the first time. And it's just important that you create your own setting that allows you to be as vulnerable as possible. And if that means that you would rather have somebody with you as a watcher, then I would suggest that is what you do. Because you want to allow yourself to go as much as possible. certainly over time, as Bianca says, there certainly is a lot of pros in doing it the online way. But all I'm saying is that if you're doing it for the first time or intending to do it for the first time and you do feel a little bit apprehensive, then stick your hand up and either a family member or maybe a watcher might be available to actually join you for your first experience.
Thanks, Roger. Brody, did you want to add something still?
I was adding on to this watcher conversation that we're having. This Soma at home experience has started showing us something quite spectacular, and it's been mentioned more than once now. And that is that people who, we always say, mushrooms needs to do the work, and we want you to consume mushrooms and be safe, and everybody needs to try them at least once, but the best way is if you have our support. And what seems to be coming out now, and I mean, this has only been, I think we had our first report back of someone actually saying, you know what, I couldn't wait for a ceremony. I needed to do the mushrooms. I went and took them this weekend, and you know what, I really felt the difference of not having that support group, of what Kerry was speaking about, of having the watchers there, just knowing that you could reach out and say, oh, hey, and you've got a whole group of people that know what you've undertaken to do this evening or that evening and are there for you. And I just thought that was something that I'm finding really beautiful that's beginning to appear, if I can say it that way. It's like the people who have come back and said, oh, you know, in between the two, I did a journey on my own and it just wasn't the same. So again, you know, I'm always on the side of someone who's watching, so I haven't been on the journey side of things, but I'm finding it really interesting that this is the feedback that we're getting.
Thank you, Rodianne. we're saying that, and I want to add, as the world changes and starts embracing working with psychedelics, maybe in a therapeutic kind of way, we're not taking away from how that will develop. We are very aware that from a legal point of view, very much the same as cannabis, mushrooms will follow. And we can touch a little bit on the legality and where that path is going. But I do want to stress that therapy with mushrooms is something where there are a lot of knowledgeable people working and developing and gaining understanding of that. And maybe we've lost time as far as the law and legalities are concerned. Maybe we've lost decades in understanding and how that can be applied in a therapeutic environment. We're very aware, working through this with experience, that once the door opens to therapy and professionals get involved, and Melissa, I know you've asked the question and you've touched on it, and there's no need for us to have a discussion here. Unless you'd like to talk about it, you're welcome. I'm simply mentioning your name because you did add the note. And I'm by no means necessarily giving the right answer. I'm giving you my thoughts. That once it does approach that environment of being structured therapy, it becomes something different from a soma retreat. It becomes something different than this experience that we're working with, allowing a person to connect with the higher force and us stepping away. It becomes therapy, and it becomes therapy with which you are providing other support as well, and you're trained to provide that assistance. I refer to, with complete naive lack of knowledge about MDMA-assisted therapy, is something that we hear about a lot, that MAPS, the Psychedelic Society in the States specifically, has done a lot of work on that. But the description of assisted therapy is something very specific, where you are dealing with trauma, PTSD, with a specific outcome, and you're receiving support in a trained way to work a person through specific trauma. In a soma experience, we don't know what your trauma is. We don't know what healing is required. We don't know what answers you're looking for. We don't know what spiritual path we're on, and we're not looking to find that answer either. Mm-hmm. We're not putting anybody that arrives for a soma experience. We're not putting in a box in that kind of way. We're saying you do not come to a soma experience to be healed from trauma. You do not come to be healed from PTSD or come off your antidepressants. Those are, in fact, side effects, typically, from what we've learned from people going through this experience. Mm. But we are not inviting them and saying, here, we're going to help you with your addiction to antidepressants or addiction to alcohol, et cetera, et cetera. A month later or 2 months later, you may have stopped drinking, and as a result, it's a side effect. So when this becomes legalized and we start opening up the doors, one of the most difficult things that could happen for a sacred mushroom experience in the way that we work is that specific rules can come in on how we're allowed to work. Because when we set rules on how you're allowed to take it and what setting you can take it and how you have to work, it compromises the divine force. I've learned, I cannot for the life of me think of the specific quote now, but I based a large part of my life on putting my imagination to one side, because the magic in your life can be limited by your own imagination. And that's what can happen in a therapy-assisted environment when we're trying to connect with the spiritual side of life as well. You cannot. In a therapy environment, that's something different. So there will be this crossover path, I think, in time where us, with our experience, can assist can assist science, can assist therapists to incorporate this as a modality in their therapies once it becomes legal. But it's not an environment where your spiritual connection is necessarily going to be magnified or enforced. I hope I haven't rambled on. It kind of feels like that. But I hope there's an understanding there that we're not presenting ourselves as therapists either. There are psychologists and therapists that are trained for that. And as psilocybin becomes legal around the world, they will become trained in working with psilocybin mushrooms as well. And we want to stress that we don't work with psilocybin only. We don't work with a synthesized psilocybin. There is magic in mushrooms, which is a cliche, which I know if Monica was here, she would cringe a little bit. And Detoy, thank you for the note about Annelie having your hand up. If you still have a question you want to add, please jump in. But we work with the whole mushroom. We don't work with a part of it. We don't work with the synthesized chemical that it contains. There is a spirit in the mushrooms that contains so much more, which we don't necessarily understand. Annelie, how can we answer your question? I'm going to unmute you. Hi.
Can you hear me? I've only been microdosing because retreat was cancelled due to COVID. So I haven't done the proper retreat experience. And for fear of having to wait for I don't know how long, I have been thinking to maybe do the online. And I hear everything you say, but like Roger put it actually very accurately, it is, I don't know if you can remember your first time, but it is scary. It's really scary for me to imagine doing it on my own. And also to think of who to have with you, because I would definitely not attempt it on my own. I mean, in the last session, someone mentioned that, or I think Bianca, you also mentioned, someone mentioned, I mean, you might need help going to the loo. How, if I need help, am I going to text the watcher, say, listen, help? So it's those type of questions which makes me really doubt if I would be able to actually do want to do it online. I mean, the simple thing is, like I also have questions on the online experience, like if you know, okay, now you're gonna take the sacrament. I mean, do we is the video on like now, or do you switch the video off and I'm now sitting there at home waiting for fuck knows what's gonna happen now? I think it is very different if you have done it before, and I can understand that you see the benefits of having your own space at home and experiencing it exactly just, you know, in your own and not having any other factors. But for a first time, I think it is, I don't know how many people you've had doing the online experience for a very, very first time. I mean, it'd be interesting for me to hear from someone who's done it for the first time, doing an online experience. That's my fierce question.
Annelie, it happens quite often, surprisingly. And more often amongst women than amongst men who find the courage within themselves to say, well, I don't at the moment have another way and I would like to try this. So yes, it does happen often. And then in the same breath, working with sacred mushrooms always happens at the right time. So these fears and concerns are completely valid, and to step back and wait until you have the right answers and or are in a physical group or are in a space where you're ready for that. There is no such thing as a bad trip, which can become quite a cliche. Mm-hmm. But we talk about these difficult experiences as being where we have the deepest teaching. Gordon, thank you. I'm going to come to you shortly. But these difficult experiences where where those are the times when we learn the most and we heal the most and we expand the most. Yes, an experience can be really hard. This is, I mentioned at the beginning, this is not a fun and games event. This is serious work about connecting with a higher force, with a divine force, to do serious work, and that takes courage. And for that, the timing will also always be divine. And fear and misunderstanding and uncertainty is a wonderful timing device to present something that works exactly as it's meant to work and at the right time that it's meant to work. We often, Rodianne and I do a hosted spaces at Africa Burn was a really good example where we had actually meetings like this, which was sort of where it started up, where for the duration of the Africa Burn event, we'd have an information session like this in the middle of the day, and we'd end up with 30 or 40 people having this very similar kind of discussion. And so often we have people that arrive and say, you know what, I took mushrooms when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, and I had the most terrible experience. I refused to touch them, and that was 20 years ago. And that was a difficult event. That was likely a difficult experience, and likely an experience that was mixed with other substances. Likely there was alcohol, likely there was cannabis, maybe even other chemicals. Mm. And that's often when things go sideways. That's when these substances don't mix together. And people have a very difficult time. And as a result, they get divinely timed to only come back to this journey and to this path 20 years later. So yes, by all means, when the time is right, the time is right. And do not feel that you need to force yourself into an experience where you're going to be on your own. Gordon, good evening. I see you have your hand up. We don't have your video. It's okay if you... if you want to stay without that, but I'd love to hear your input.
I'm not sure you want to see me, Anton. I'm here in my pajamas, but if you really want me to show you, I'll show you. So I want to try and lay some of Annalise's fear. There is nothing to fear, because whether you're on your own, whether you're in a group, whether you're at Somaland, it happens as it meant to happen, and nothing bad is going to happen. You're just going to delve into a part of your life that you haven't had possibly contact with before. And I was just talking a few minutes ago before I joined to Lisa, who was one of the journeyers that I had the pleasure of accompanying with at Somaland. And then last time, as you those who were there know, Lisa and Leon and I journeyed in Prince Albert on her farm. And Lisa just said to me, if we're going to do it again, you guys must go somewhere else because I need to be private. And I laughed at her and I said, yeah, okay, so fine. If you want to go find another part of the farm, you can go. You can go do it with the horses. But because Leon had a very volatile experience, and it didn't offend me at all. In fact, I think that it was part of my experience to observe him. So, you know, at Somaland, people are a little bit more reserved, but there's nothing to stop you not being reserved because you're not really in control to that extent that you can say, oh, okay, I'm going to stop doing this or I'm going to do this. It's a very free-flowing experience. And I've done them at home, which was the most powerful, but it was also, you know, for me, I was in a very bad place at the time, so it was quite disturbing. There's nothing to fear, Annalie. You know, whether you want somebody with you or not, I don't think that the Somaland experiences are going to occur for a while. But there is absolutely nothing to fear. It is the most phenomenal thing you will discover, this process. And it is a process. It's a journey. And every time you do it, it gets better and better and you learn more. I had quite a tough one, the last one, but since I've been back, which is 2.5 weeks, my sleep patterns have changed completely. I'm still trying to understand it. And these kind of things you can't anticipate, these kind of things you'll never know till they're actually happening. So my comment to you is, don't fear, because there's nothing to fear, and you will manage no matter how bad it is. Even in my bad experience, when I was so scared and I tried to call Monica and Anton on the WhatsApp to help me, they didn't answer the phone to me. And in some respect, it was good that they didn't answer the phone, because I was actually able to work the situation out for myself. And it's what I did as an individual on my own that brought me to a whole new place. So I really want to encourage you not to fear, because there's nothing worse than fear itself.
And Elise, if I can come in there and just say to you that the thought of trying to do this sort of work in an online environment, if you had said that to us before COVID, we would have said you're nuts. But we watchers, we did it on ourselves first. And we were absolutely surprised that it worked. And I don't know, Anton, how many online ceremonies there's been now. There must be at least about 15, 20 that have been done online. They've all worked remarkably well. And for a lot of people, the feedback is that they prefer to do it on their own in an online setting than in a group. But there isn't one way to do it. Mm-hmm. And you must do it the way that you feel is best for you. So if you would rather have somebody with you and participate in the online ceremony, then that's the way that you should do it. Anton used the word serious work. It is serious work. I also like to use the word reverence. You've got to do it with the reverence that it deserves. The other point that I just wanted to make is, I think you were also talking about microdosing. And my own gut feel is that the real benefit of microdosing comes after you've done a proper ceremony, after you've done a 5-gram journey. To me, that's when the mushrooms actually have the best benefit. And I'll tell you my own experience was I microdosed for I think about 6 months. But then one night I just suddenly realized that those mushrooms were sitting in my cupboard. I hadn't used it. You know, I got to, after 6 months, I just got to a point where I didn't use them anymore. And clearly that was my time to stop it. But in my own opinion, the real benefit comes once you've done a 5-gram journey. Then you can get the benefit of microdosing on a daily basis.
Thank you, Roger. We'll talk a little bit about microdosing shortly. Dutoy, would you like to add to that?
Hello, Anton. Sorry for the noise. Anneli, just on a very practical level, it's more difficult to go to the bathroom after a bottle of wine than it is to go to the bathroom after a 5-gram dose. So you really don't have to worry about that at all. It's not difficult. And I think it's important for everyone to know that, I don't know what's going on in this house, but on a very practical level, you're not going to be in any physical danger. You're going to be in control of yourself at all times. My wife It's such a pity, her name is Kaira, that she's not on the call tonight. She's not going to join. She did a ceremony this past weekend at our house. Her first ceremony was supposed to be at Summerland, and it was cancelled, and she ended up doing her first one at home, which ended up being challenging, but challenging from what she experienced internally, not because for any other practical reason. She was there on the couch. I didn't know what was going on. Only afterwards, I heard that it was challenging. So you don't, from very practically speaking, you don't have to be scared. Not at all. I'm a practical person. That's why I just wanted to say those things.
Thank you, Dettoy. Anneli, I don't expect you to change your mind simply by us answering your questions or responding in that way. But I hope there's been some more information to answer. And please feel free to ask more and make sure that we fill all the gaps for you as well. Andre.
Yes, thanks, Anton. Just a couple of questions from my side. This is totally exploratory for me, and totally new. I haven't done any real research, but I've been pulled towards seeing this event and this talk wherever in social media, and I felt I must explore it further. So just a couple of questions, maybe, if I may. First of all, it seems, therefore, from what everybody is saying, that there are really no risks doing it totally alone with nobody supporting you. So I just want to confirm that. The other aspect is, if you don't have or use WhatsApp, is that a problem for the week, and the preparation and everything in that regard? You said you will be talking about legality, so I'm totally, unaware of all the information in that regard. So I'm looking forward to that info as well. And then some practicalities around that. But so just that those two questions. It seems that there would be no risk at all doing it alone. And secondly, with the WhatsApp group, not being on a WhatsApp group, would that be a problem?
Andre, the WhatsApp group is the one way that we found to communicate collectively. We went through a period last year, and for those that do use WhatsApp, maybe it was about a year ago, where there was this tendency to want to switch to other messengers. And at the time, we also had to consider that. But unless there's a 100% buy-in for everybody to use a different platform, it's not possible. So WhatsApp as a tool to communicate with the group together is the one that we're using at the moment. It's not going to prevent you from joining the experience in totality. You're going to lose out a part of the connection with the group and the communication that happens in a group for the duration of the week before as a preparation. But on the Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, we connect for a meeting like this. And then once the meeting is over, it's not a big brother. We keep the camera on. The meeting, the Zoom meeting ends, and we all turn into our own space. And then we remain connected via WhatsApp. But that support line is available via GSM phone call, via Telkom line. I mean, whatever way is practical for a person. That only part that is missing is the collective WhatsApp. So I don't have another alternative to offer, other than knowing that even people that are inexperienced and we've had first timers that we don't hear from at all via WhatsApp. And we sit on the edges of our seats wondering how everybody is, and they're in their own space. And that's one of the roles of a watcher, as Roger said, is not to interfere. Mm-hmm. And that's even harder in this digital world that we live in when the person is at home, because once you've taken the sacrament, it's all very much out of our control. And as watchers, we're not interfering. We're not going to give you a call on your landline or whatever communication methods are available to check in how you are doing. We are, however, available to receive whatever communication comes our way and respond to that. So in response to WhatsApp, it's not a specific requirement. It does help. And I don't have another alternative to offer. And then as far as the risks are concerned, there is no risk other than those that you could potentially create for yourself in your own mm-hmm. physical space. And as a first timer, again, we're recommending someone to be with you. Time and time again, we want to refer, and I want to refer to the bar chart that we find online about what are the risks of taking substances. And right at the top of the list is alcohol and heroin, I think, and those two have a major impact socially, physically, et cetera, on users' lives. And all the way on the right-hand side, beyond cigarettes, beyond, I think, even paracetamol or somewhere in the middle, you find psilocybin mushrooms. And that's the level of risk, because once you've taken them, once you've gone to the toilet for the first time, psilocybin is gone. It's converted to psilocin and it's out of your system. It's not there anymore, and you start metabolizing mm-hmm. it very quickly. Mm-hmm. So please come back, Andre, and let me know your thoughts on that. And in the meantime, I'll go to Anneli. Anneli.
So two questions that came up now when you said, so what exactly is the role of the watcher in an online experience if they cannot actually watch you? So that's the one thing. And then something, again, very practical and maybe ridiculous question, but I mean, am I going to be lying on the couch, or am I going to be running around naked in the room, or what typically, in a general sense of way, what physically happens when you take the 5 grams?
Firstly, before I go to the other watchers, just to clarify on the role of a watcher, specifically the difference in a role of a watcher between allowing a person to work at home and in the physical space.
As a Zoom meeting,
we are
like an EP talk.
We
talk.
We are assisting in a more indirect role as far as the preparations are concerned, with a at-home experience, with an at-home soma retreat. When you book, and in the past have booked to join Monica for a retreat in Somerset West, or you come to join us in Joburg when we've done the outdoor gardening experiences, the only person you've normally had contact with is Monica or myself in the weeks and the months leading up to the experience. And the first time you have contact with the watchers, and the first time the watchers start getting involved in that experience, is on the Saturday night or the Saturday afternoon when they arrive and they start preparing the retreat space. They start putting candles out, they help with blankets, they help with pillows, et cetera, et cetera. But preparing you to work on your own, the watcher is now involved for the whole week before. They're assisting and saying, well, when I journey with mushrooms, this is how I prepare the blankets. This is how we make the soup. This is what you need to do to prepare your space for what suits you best. And in more recent retreats, we've assigned roles which are very similar to what happens in a physical retreat. In a physical retreat, we have a kitchen caretaker, we have a person that chops the vegetables, that prepares the soup, that makes the soup. They arrive a little bit earlier and they start that soup process, and they're referred to as a kitchen caretaker. It's where we start learning about how to prepare the meals and the food that is done for a soma retreat. In an online experience, we also have a kitchen caretaker, and they start preparing and providing information during the course of the week. It's something that's come in quite recently, but they start sharing, well, how should you eat in preparation? How should you prepare your body 12 or 24 hours before? You should start eating lighter meals, vegetables, fruits, et cetera, et cetera. How should you hydrate yourself? We also have a space caretaker who's taking more responsible of sharing information on how you can prepare your space. If you're going to decide to journey on the couch or in your bedroom lying down, what should you have around you? So in your private space, yes, you may run around naked. Yes, you may want to journey in your lounge rather than in your bedroom, or vice versa. That, and those are the kinds of options we have. in working on your own. You also have an opportunity to sing at the top of your voice and to dance, which in a physical retreat, in a physical gathering, you may get prevented because you start disturbing other people around you. And that's the main thing that really happens in a physical retreat is, yes, you can dance. Yes, you can act, but not to an extent of disturbing other people around you. And that's the only time that a watcher is going to step in is, what can we do to ensure that the group is not disturbed? I hope that answers your question, Andre.
Thank you. Yeah, just as a follow-up, the information as to prepare for the Saturday can be received, I suppose, then from you without having to be on the WhatsApp group. That's my understanding. Secondly, that would be great. And then what physically happens is, after the meeting has happened, there's no cameras on. You just sit in your and you have access to the WhatsApp group or to phone somebody if need be, but you're not part of an online meeting like this where camera, everything shuts off and you sit wherever you need to sit and you do whatever you need to do. That's the understanding. And then out of curiosity, volunteering, I understand quite well, and I've done so myself in many capacities, especially when it comes to spiritual matters and or very powerful experiences. But I'm curious about why would somebody become a watcher? And, a blunt question, and apologies for putting it bluntly, lack of a better description, what do you get out of it? Why are you a watcher? I mean, I'm very comfortable in what I'm experiencing tonight here, I must say, having first time engaged in this and all of you, what I'm seeing and what you're saying and the energy and the information. But the first thing that came up, why would you be a watcher? Why would you spend your time? Is there, a commercial aspect to it? Is there other benefit? So just out of curiosity, if I may.
Thank you, Andre. I'm going to give each of our watchers here an opportunity to answer that question, because it's a really, really good one. And I'd like to lead into that by handing over to Kerry first. Thank you for that question, Andre, and we'll cover that as we go. Kerry.
Yeah, I want to say two things. The first thing is that we're not physically present as watchers, but there is an energetic connection. And I can only explain it as somebody who has done the at-home journeys. There is a very strong sense that you're not alone in your space, even if you are alone. And it is just a purely energetic connection. And I think that was very important for me, particularly in my first journey, just to be able to reach out in an energetic way and know that I was supported. I can't describe it in any other way. I don't know if my language is clear enough. But that is very profound. And so the question about why become a watcher, I think it, for me, because it's something very new still, it's very much part of my own personal spiritual journey. And during my retreats that I've had at home, I've been very strongly drawn, and I had a very clear message on a few occasions from Soma about actually becoming And I'll say the word watcher, but becoming a connection in some way, because although you're watching and you are stepping back, you actually are a connection between the physical world and the spiritual world. And I was very much drawn to watching because of the messages that I've got, and Margie said it right at the beginning. It's now part of my journey. What else is going to happen in my spiritual world? And doing this watching experience provides that for me. Although I'm sitting at home in my own space, I'm still connecting. There's still the work that's happening.
Thank you, Kerry. Roger, I'm going to go backwards towards you, and then Margie and Bianca. Before I forget, though, Andre, yes, you can receive all the information via email. We in fact send it all out in any way via a series of emails. And then, yes, the cameras aren't on. It is not an episode or series of Big Brother at all. And ultimately, actually, regarding that information, Andre, if you go to the Somaliland website, you will find most of it there in any way. One of the large steps that happened with lockdown happening was a discovery that, well, let's make this information available. Yes, the support, the connection that Kerry so beautifully described is so important. But ultimately, if people want to work on their own with Sacred Mushrooms, with or without us, they should be allowed to. And the information how we recommend that to be done is freely available on the somaliland.org website, including links to our playlists, including links to how to prepare the soup. I think it's there as well. There's a frequently asked questions, which I tend to update as we go. Please have a look and by all means feel like you're included in the best way possible. Roger, I'd love to get some feedback from the rest of the watchers. I appreciate that you understand Kerry's answer, and Andre, maybe there's something else from some of the other watchers, and it would be very valuable for us to discuss that as well. Roger?
What I'd first like to say to Andre is that we generally say that your journey commences the moment that you've taken the decision to take part in the ceremony. And I would strongly urge you, Andre, to be part of the WhatsApp group. There's a lot of important work, preparatory work, that is done as a group in that WhatsApp group in the week building up to the ceremony. So I would just encourage you to reconsider your stance, and encourage you to actually partake and be part of the WhatsApp group. As I said, it helps in creating the setting that you need for your journey later on during the week. Why watch? I don't think it's something that one should generally do. I'm talking now as a watcher, and maybe not as somebody just watching somebody. I think you need to consider watching after you've done a couple of journeys. I think you need the experience of a few journeys before you consider becoming a fully fledged watcher. But for me, it simply was a continuation of my journey. It was a continuation of my own healing process. Through my physical journeys that I did before learning the art of watching, I went through an intensely healing process. Getting rid of addictions and getting rid of depressions and that sort of thing. But it's when I started watching that I started to become aware of the notion of love. And that linked me, that just was part of my journey of learning, number one, to love myself. To then put me in a position where I could actually love other people. So why become a watcher? Because it's part of a journey that you might, not everybody that takes psychedelics or takes mushrooms eventually becomes a watcher. But for me, it was an important part of my healing process of going back to the most basics and coming to the realization in life, certainly for me, that it actually revolves around love. And as a watcher, you get so much, there are so many lessons that you learn from watching over journeyers, be it physically or be it over the internet. So, but the number one motivation is love.
Thank you, Roger. We love you so much. And so happy that you're here. Margie.
I'd like to follow Roger. I hadn't thought of watching, and in fact it was Monica who suggested it to me after, I think it was my fifth journey or so, and I said, well, I'm not sure I'm quite ready. And then I decided that actually I would take it up. I did another journey, and then after that one I said, no, actually I think I am ready to do it. I mean, in that journey I did just before, I had quite a lot of themes around watching other people and watching my younger self. There were quite a lot of themes that came out. I'm sure triggered partly by Monica saying, you know, asking if I would be interested in going further. And for me, I think it was by that stage, I realized I was really into this journey and I really wanted to continue. So for me, it felt like a very natural next step of the commitment to the journey to actually start doing the watching. And I've done both, yeah, at Somaliland and online. And the last one I did was a kind of hybrid. I went and watched a friend who was doing a journey, and I was still on as an online watcher as well with her. And they are quite different aspects to them, but it is a powerful feeling of being connected through watching somebody and also the online stuff. So it's a different component of the whole journey, I think, for me. I'm going to continue doing my own journeys as well. But I think it's an extension of it.
Thank you, Margie. Bianca.
Yeah, thank you. I think also what is important to bring across is that even as a watcher, we take a gram as well. So we actually connecting on a very different level. And for me, it's all about holding the space. And I think. In a setting where it's physical, we have the tendency to say, oh, let's help this person, or let's see if this person is okay. Then just saying, okay, let's just hold the space for the journeyer to go into what they need to go into. And I think it works on a very similar base when we do it online, because we have this WhatsApp group and we're starting to connect and we're starting to chat. And now we start to get to know each other, and now we know, okay, this might be a journeyer that's more nervous, or this might be somebody that's more scared. And we actually, when we take it, we can feel it. We can feel each and every journeyer. This is how it is for me. And that is helping us fine-tuning our holding of the space and our being part of this connection. And I think that's why I'm being a watcher. So I hope that answers your question. I answered it to the best of my ability.
Thanks, Bianca.
Can I make a chip in there? And I want to speak to Emily specifically. and just say, as Bianca says, if you're journeying, then you're going to take 5 grams. And as a watcher, we take 1 gram. And we actually journey with you spiritually. We take 1 gram, so we've got 1 foot in this, in what we call the spiritual world, and 1 foot in the real world. And we try and carry you, as the journeyers, close to our heart the whole evening. And sometimes the next morning, people talk that they could feel the connection. And so we journey on that 1 gram ourselves, but with our phone next to us. So if ever you need to reach out, we'll always be there for you. But we journey, and we journey with you, and we carry all of you close to our heart.
Thank you, Roger. Ready, Anne.
You asked us, how do we watch as watchers online? And I think Bianca touched on it so beautifully. And I think there was an experience that we had a couple of months ago, and we felt something. This is going to sound so ridiculous. And we're like, well, what do we do? And we said, well, just throw that safety net out like we do so well. And just by the envisioning of just chucking out a safety net, and if someone's jumping and they're jumping off somewhere and they don't know where they're going to fall, even if our little safety net just gently catches them and they can bounce off and land on their feet somewhere, that's what I envision us as watchers doing. We're not, you know, when someone's having a difficult time in a physical ceremony, we will not go up to you and go put our hand on your shoulder or go nudge you. We'll just go as a watcher. We dress in black because it's all about you connecting to the divine. And we'll just come and sit in your space, and just the presence of a human being nearby you with a compassionate heart. And remember that every single one of us that are choosing to be watchers is because we care about people. And there's a very, very, very difficult thing as a watcher that you need to learn as well, is that we sometimes label it tough love, but it does fall into that bracket of, I'm here for you. I'm your rock. I'm your support. You can scream. You can shout. I'm here for you. But I'm not going to interfere with you, because you need to reach out, or you need to climb up that ladder, or you need to take that gasp of breath yourself. I cannot do it for you. And that is why we are there as watchers, is because we understand that, because we've all been there. We've all been a journeyer who needed to be brought through that situation. And we've all had a situation, I'm sure, where we've opened our eyes and there's been a watcher there, or we've needed to reach out and there's been someone on the side, on the other end of the cell phone. Or like Kerry said, she energetically reached out and we were there, and Roger touched on it. Whereas the beauty of this Zoom meeting the next morning is that we can confirm these really strange things that we're feeling. And it's, you know, we had this in the very beginning. We have these WhatsApp groups between us that we've touched on this. The watchers have one, and then the journeyers have another. And we will be sending pictures of rainbows to each other on the watchers group, and it will pop up on the journeyers group, on the completely different group where there's no overlap. But energetically, it was picked up. So that proved to me that us as watchers need to keep our minds pure, and we need to keep and hold that space, as Roger said, with love in our own homes. And that's where this magic lies. And I don't even want to try and label it, but I'm just going to try and explain what I've experienced. And then why do I watch? Roger touched on it as well, is that, you know, you delve into your subconscious and this world that we all know is there, because we all have this voice inside us, and sometimes it's really weak and sometimes it's quite strong. And this is a time for us to go and jump deep into that and go and listen and see if we can hear anything. And then when you start doing this work and you start implementing it in your life, you actually start wanting more, because just throwing yourself into all these symbols and this world of amazing actually doesn't give you the answers anymore. And that's when you start saying, okay, I'll take the next step of I'll I'll show up and I'll try this thing of watching. And this is my personal experience. And I'll take on this magical world of mushrooms, and I'll take the commitment to still be in the present world. And in that way, I'm fine-tuning myself in every time that I'm watching to hear that voice. So then when I'm not even on the mushrooms, I can hear that voice. And that's what I'm finding more powerful than anything, because the more I show up, the more I do the work, the louder this voice is, and the clearer my gut is speaking to me, and the more I know what the right way is forward. And this is what I'm getting from this. And it's like a snowball. I just want more. I just want to gain more. I just want to, you see what I'm going, where I'm going with this. It's something that once you have a feeling of how the world starts unlocking for you, when you make this commitment and you listen to yourself and that voice that you're learning to hear, wow, the world just starts flowering for you. I don't know how else to put it. So I hope that in a way explains my journey as a watcher and why I keep showing up to do this week after week and month after month.
This is such an important word, watching, watcher, which I have to stress is very specific to Soma retreats. It's very specific to Soma land. It's very specific to training received in this way. And in this way means it's likely through Monica, who has been involved in all of the physical retreats in Somerset West and all of the online experiences. And in fact, this is the first meeting that she hasn't been present
anything we've done.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. We've hosted spaces around the country without her. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's a new experience. But the word watcher, is what we use. The rest of the world may use sitter. The rest of the world may use a companion, a guide. That is something completely different. Through this school of mushrooms that Monica created in Somerset West, quite a large number of people have worked through as watchers. Right in the beginning, she referred to them as helpers. That's become watchers. It's more than 100. It's maybe even 200 or 300 people who have been taught, because they've asked to be taught, how to take the spiritual path into this world and how to walk in this world as a watcher. And a watcher is something very specific. It's a person that through a spiritual path and a spiritual teaching and through spiritual experiences does not respond in the way they as a human may want to respond. They don't step onto a pedestal. They don't step onto a path. They are called to a path and they respond to an experience that comes to them. We learn in this way as watchers how to help others. That's why I'm a watcher, because I see this as the most profound way that I can make a change in this world. And maybe when there is a more profound way that I discover, that's the path that I will follow. But this is the most profound way I can make a positive impact to help other people change the world. Because it needs to happen, and needs to happen quickly. And it needs to happen for all of us. But Andrea, I see you still got your hand up and I'll come to you. This helping of others is a very specific understanding that I've learned through a number of different experiences, including spending 6 months in India on the streets working and helping people's and working on their feet, putting myself in a position where I wanted to help so desperately that Babas and Sadhus who had given off everything and don't ask for help, I was washing their feet, helping them with healthcare, et cetera, et cetera. And yet I realized looking back on that they did not ask for my help. And if they don't ask for my help, they don't necessarily need my help. They are not going to be better and get better if you don't embrace the help. And a watcher responds to that. I was sitting in Monica's kitchen once, and there were a few watchers preparing for a Soma retreat, busy in the kitchen. And Monica at the time was going through her chemotherapy and had had just had her operation where her breast was removed a couple of weeks before, and her arms were still very stiff. And she walked into the kitchen and she looked around, and the first person asked her, how can I help you, Monica? What can I get for you? And Monica said, no, I'm okay. I can help myself. And the next person said, Monica, what can we get for you? Are you looking for something? And Monica's like, well, this is my kitchen. I know where everything is. I can help myself. Until she was moving around and she stood in front of the shelves of cups and saucers, and she took a cup off the shelf, and then she just stood there, and I happened to be right next to her at that point, and that's where I could ask, Monica, how can I help you? I said, well, I can't reach that shelf. And she couldn't lift her arm up. Now, to allow a person to first try and lift her hand to get something off the shelf is a lot more important than just simply reaching and giving it to them, because it empowers them to change themselves for the better, to test themselves, to heal themselves. And that for me is what a watcher is about, is about learning these skills through sacred mushrooms and then taking it into the world and our lives where we are at as doctors, lawyers, dentists, corporates, hypnotherapists, musicians, artists, all of that, and take it and apply it to change the world. That is the simplest thing that we can do. And in the place where we are today, looking back on the last 18 months, the last 2 years of the world, let's get everybody online, thousands and thousands of them at the same time, and let's change the world. It's quite simple. Andre, you've patiently been waiting for us to finish.
No, not at all, Anton. Thank you. And for your patience with me, I'm making full use of this information session tonight and the time available. And thank you, everyone, for doing that, making that personal and open and frank sharings. I'm starting to understand this better and better. So just a follow-up question. You mentioned that there's no affiliation or connection with any, it's a spiritual group or dogma. Silly one, maybe, Rodian. You mentioned that you're wearing black, something I picked up. Is there a reason for that? Is there an affiliation with that? You know, sometimes there's funny associations with that in certain people's minds. It's just interesting question. And then, Anton, I'm not sure about the time of this info session. I've had a look at the website. Maybe I'm a bit off, but couldn't find much in terms of the practicalities of legalities and where to get what everyone needs. Will you still be addressing some of that as well? Thank you. And thank you for allowing me to ask all these questions.
That's quite okay, Andre. Rodian.
It's really nice to actually have somebody who's got a lot of questions, because sometimes we just look at each other and we're like, ooh, what do we say? We wear black because in the physical world, when you're doing a retreat at Monica's place, mushrooms don't exactly like bright lights. So you go there in the evening and you'll set candles, and it's a lot of comfortable spaces to sleep or to lie down, sleep eventually in the evening. And we wear black so that we can blend into the background. So because it's not about us, it's actually about you being able to connect to yourself. The whole thing about a Soma retreat when you go to Monica's place is you need to forget about your physical so that you can go as deep in as you possibly can. So there's suggestions of no loud jewelry, no perfume, no, there's no incense. There's a whole lot of things that you just remove so that you forget about the physical. And I've been in a situation, we've mentioned that we've all journeyed ourselves, where I remember opening my eyes as a journeyer, and now bearing in mind my eyes have been closed for many hours at this stage, and one of the watchers told me the next day she'd got hot and she'd taken her black top off and she was wearing a white top underneath it. She glowed like a neon light in the ceremony room, and only then as a journeyer did I actually understand why we had to do it. And it's just a simple thing of that, because the person just sticks out, and that's not what it's about. We're supposed to be there. If someone takes a top off and throws it into the middle of the room, and I think that could be possibly where a journeyer is now shuffling through the room, they could trip over it. It's my role as a watcher to quietly, in my black clothing, go as quietly as I can, collect that item, maybe put it next to the person who dropped it, and retreat back to where I was. So in that way, we are completely unseen and we are taking care of your environment. And that is where us as watchers in the week, and this is a new thing that we've created with the SOM at home experiences, is with giving us watchers roles, we are now going to be able to assist the journeyers in preparing a space for exactly that kind of thing. So think about it when you are, I loved how the toy said, you're not going to be as out of control as your body as you are when you're drunk after a bottle of wine. You're going to be able to steady yourself in some way when you have taken the mushrooms. But what we are learning now as the watchers is to try and assist you to do the things that we would do in your home for yourself so that you are creating yourself that perfect environment. So that's a lot of a big answer for black clothing.
Thank you, Rodi. And then I'm ready to touch on the legalities in the supply. If you are located inside South Africa, we will communicate via email about that, and I can send you details and share how we can supply a source from our side. Our biggest channel with the biggest challenge with the online experience has around the world has been sourcing supply elsewhere. Europe is an example where it's changed with Brexit. We had a disconnection from the UK with Europe. We had an incident or experience in New Zealand where an ex-South African expat couldn't find mushrooms, and her lockdown project was to grow mushrooms. And the funny thing is it's happened again. We, as a result of Brexit, we couldn't find a source to supply someone in Europe and Austria or Germany. Mm-hmm. And her response was, well, if she can't get Muhammad to the mountain, then the mountain must come to Muhammad. And they ordered grow kits from Holland, which is quite legal. And she's growing her own mushrooms and in preparation for a journey to join us. So locally, please chat to me via email. Once you register for events, it takes me a couple of days and then I'll send more information. We can certainly help with that. And finding the reliable supply is also very important when it comes to the legality. We do respect the fact and a reminder that psilocybin mushrooms, irrespective of our point of view, is an illegal substance. Mm-hmm. There is nothing wrong with the policeman applying the law. And I think as much respect should be given to that. Applying the law, it's up to us to change the law. Hence why there is a situation where through Monica being arrested twice now, at her ceremonies, there is a process that's very well on the way of challenging the constitution of the country to change the law in a very much in a similar way as cannabis, allowing us to use sacred mushrooms for spiritual and private use, because that's effectively what our role and what we'd like to achieve. But as it stands at the moment, it's a substance that's illegal. So we're respectful of that. We're not throwing that back in people's faces, but we are going ahead under all circumstances to work for our rights, to work with sacred mushrooms for private and spiritual use. And that same applies. There's a very strong upswell throughout the world for the legalization or decriminalization of psilocybin mushrooms. We touched a little bit on the synthesis of it, which to us is something completely different. And a time will come, and it's likely a lot less than what we think, 2 or 3 years away even. I think as a swell that will happen, South Africa is very much on the forefront. When we are talking from a legal point of view with the States and Canada and certain European countries as well, because of the progress that it's made with regard to our constitution, because of largely the work that Monica has done, we're very much part of that conversation. Let's include South Africa. Let's be part of that conversation. They're on the forefront on working with sacred mushrooms and allowing for the decriminalization of that. And once all those complications are gone, yes, people will allow will be allowed to work with mushrooms a lot more, and in a much freer way. But from my own experience, and simply from experience, the right people will still arrive. You know, you don't have an amazing, blissful Soma retreat, Soma experience, no matter how wonderful it is. You're there on Sunday. It's the most amazing, life-changing experience. You do not take mushrooms again on Monday morning just because it was an amazing experience. It doesn't work like that. And likewise, a difficult experience is going to get that divine timing right for you. So allowing people the tools to explore themselves and explore their spirituality. And that's partly where microdosing comes in. I want to touch on that a little bit. And Roger, you've given some thoughts on microdosing as well. It's a topic that comes up a lot. Working with Soma in this way means that we do not work with microdosing before the events, which is maybe quite contrary, is contrary to a large extent on how it's recommended when you read online. But from experience gained over 11 years of thousands of people working with Soma retreats, there's nothing wrong with taking microdosing before or instead of. The contrary to that is the best and most lasting effect comes from first attending a Soma retreat and then continuing microdosing after that. So there's nothing wrong with taking microdosing before or on its own, smaller quantities. Mushrooms will do the work. But the recommended way in how we work is first attend the retreat, calibrate your system, get an understanding of what working with mushrooms is about, and continue that with a tiny amount, an imperceptible amount. And again, that word watches, we're taking ourselves out of the equation. We're not putting it in a capsule. We're not saying weigh out 0.015 grams and take it every second day and then 2 days off. There's no system. There's no program. This is a substance. This is a tool that has been available for thousands of years, and humans have been working with for thousands of years. They didn't have scales back then. A tip of a teaspoon, microdosing is an imperceptible amount that you take and put under your tongue 2-3 times a day if necessary. And as Roger said, a time may come when you feel, not even feel, you forget that you need it, because it's not a crutch. It's something that's simply part of the rewiring. And once the calibration is done with attending a retreat, then microdosing becomes part of that process. We have some notes that we can share. If anybody wants the notes on microdosing, let me know and I'll include Monica's notes and forward that to you. Is there anything else that we can add on microdosing, Rodia?
Yeah, I've got a funny little story that I always say about microdosing. You know, imagine if we were walking through the forest and I don't know, a few thousand years ago, and there were 3 or 4 of us, and we came across a few little magic mushrooms. And be like, oh, here's one for you, one for me, one for Bianca, one for Roger. Actually, if you think about the size of it, when you dry a mushroom, it goes down to about a tenth. So you probably would be getting, if it was a gram mushroom, a tenth of a gram of a mushroom, and that's a microdose. And we couldn't guts out all of them because there probably wouldn't be more. And we'd carry on walking through the forest and probably wouldn't find any for another few days. And that's how you should see microdosing. It should be natural like that. We are so programmed to think that because it's going to fix us, that we need to have this specific amount. It's not, it's a gift. It's from nature. That's why we say it's the whole mushroom. It's not the synthesized capsule. So it's an intuitive thing. It's a, like Anton says, it's a tip of a teaspoon, and oops, if you go a little bit deeper, don't panic, but try not to do that if you're going to go to work.
This medicine mentality that we have in the world that we're living in takes a lot away. It contributes a huge amount, don't get me wrong. The medical fraternity and the development we've made through science and medicine is profound.
Can't microdose if you need your arm cut off.
Absolutely. But medicine being brought into how we're working with mushrooms, how you're working with any other plant substance that's been around for a really long time, takes a lot away from it. The bringing in the word medicine takes a huge amount away from what we're doing with all of these modalities. And it brings a concept of dosing very specific amounts in taking a pill, that a microdose capsule is going to solve your problems. If I take a certain quantity of this that I purchased in a bottle, it's going to take away your problems. No, this is serious work. You've still got to do the work. Mm-hmm. Mushrooms is going to tell you whatever you need to know. It's going to show you whatever you need to be shown, but you've still got to respond to that. Your depression is not going to go away. Your anxieties are not going to go away if you don't confront that. And again, in a difficult mushroom retreat, difficult experience, it's Roger has always had such a beautiful way of describing the letting go and being vulnerable. But turning towards the fear is the best way, in a mushroom experience at least, to overcome the fear. Don't go and climb high mountains if you're scared of heights. I know I'm scared of heights. It doesn't make it go away. But confronting the psychological fear and understanding where that possibly can come from so that I can avoid climbing mountains in future makes a lot more sense, because that's what's been shown to me. And that's what we respond to. The capsule, the microdose capsule, is not simply going to make the problems go away. We first do the high dose retreat, where we get an understanding of how this work happens, and then we take it from there.
And sometimes it's you know, it could be something as quite simple. You get a message to, you've always filled your car at a certain time of the day. I think I've used this example quite a few times. And then all of a sudden you're told, okay, let's say you fill your car in the morning, now you must fill your car in the evening before you go to bed. And you might find that for some reason, somewhere in the future, you have an emergency in the morning. And if you'd been that person that only filled your car in the morning, you would not have been able to just zoot off to the emergency. And it's those little shifts that you can either choose to ignore or you can act on. And that's the choices. And that's how small the little impacts are on your life. And that's how we shift things. It's, as Anton said previously, earlier on this evening, it's not a drastic, boof, let's just destroy the whole forest. It's a pull out the weeds gently and just navigate things slightly differently. And that's how you find your way.
Thank you, Rodi. Shall we go through, if there's not any more specific questions, which may still come up, you're welcome to still ask. But as we start wrapping up, let's go through each of the watches, starting with Bianca, if you'd like to add anything. And Monica's just arrived. Let's let her in. There we go. Bianca, if there are any gaps that you've missed.
No, I think I'd like to say thank you so much, and I think we should give it over to Monica. I think she could wrap it up beautifully for us. But it was really lekker. Thank you for that. That was great.
Hi, good evening, Monica. We've been I'm muting you. There we go.
What must I say now?
No, we're
I've had a hectic at 6:30. I was ready to sign in here, and my front doorbell rang, and that was the end. So sorry, here I am.
That's quite okay. You arrived at the perfect time. We are about to start wrapping up the meeting. We've had a discussion which we'll share with you with the recording, and the watchers that are still here are going to wrap up, and anybody who's still here has an opportunity to ask any questions as well. So I'm going to go through the watches one by one and ask if they want to cap anything up. And Monica, if you'd like to add anything right at the end after that, we're so happy to have you here. And I know things happen very unexpectedly there where you are. So we do understand completely. Thank you, though, for popping in at this time.
Really, I love seeing Roger here, by the way. Hello, Roger.
Yes.
It's so nice to see you. Wow.
So lovely.
I'm looking at everyone else that's here.
you may have you've missed Yannis and Detoy, they've left already. And Gordon was there briefly as well.
Okay. I was missing you terribly.
We get to see you tomorrow as well, just to show off to everybody else. Bianca, if there's anything you want to add, you're welcome to. But let's go to Margie. Margie, hi, is there anything you want to add on?
Nothing much, except a bit around microdosing. I was actually very scared to microdose because having experienced the 5-gram journey, I didn't know what the microdose would make me do. So I was a bit scared to use it until I started feeling much more confident about the whole process. And now I use it when I want to. And I'm always amazed at how nice I feel. Even the day after, it seems to kind of help lift my mood. And yeah, so now I feel much more confident about, I don't want to use the word playing around with it, but using it as it comes, rather than being very strict about how much. And I don't weigh it out either. I just take my smaller or bigger teaspoon and a tip and take it from there.
Can I say something? Bargi, it is an insult to our sacred mushrooms to think that they must be used and abide by the way modern medicine works, with exact doses and exact times and packed into a capsule and mustn't miss a single. I mean, I'm on a lot of cancer medications and I know exactly how it goes. And everything must be done at a certain time. That is a totally wrong mindset to microdose with. And what you mentioned right at the beginning, when you feel, and that's how I work, when I feel a call that I need now to take some microdose, I have it right here on my desk, and I'll microdose then only. And clearly it works, because whatever I need it for, it's there for me. But I don't use it every day or three times a day or that sort of thing. But there's a mindset out there where people think that's how it's got to be done. That's what I wanted to say.
You're quite right, Monica. 100%. Thank you. And now we get to hand to Roger. Monica, we've had such wonderful words from Roger this evening, and we got to see Deirdre.
I was thinking that the one time that Roger comes back, I can't get to my computer.
Well, hopefully I'm back for a long time. There's two things I want to say. To those of you who are considering doing a journey for the first time soon, hopefully, what an amazing gift you're giving yourself. I salute you. And secondly, just to say, we've talked a lot about the watches tonight, but just to reiterate that we just normal human beings, just as fallible as everybody else. We face the same garbage of daily life as everybody else faces it. Maybe from a different perspective, but we are just normal human beings who love doing this work. So once again, if you're thinking of doing this for the first time, or to do it again, just to reiterate, what a gift you're giving yourself. Love you all.
Thank you, Roger. Kerry, you popped off very briefly. Welcome back. Is there anything you'd like to add towards the end of this meeting?
Thank you. I didn't realize, but I was on battery power, and so my battery just died. In the middle of Monica talking about microdosing, I don't have anything profound to say. I think that Soma has made such a big difference for me, in a number of ways in my life. I'm much more rooted, I'm more stable. Simple things like I can see colors better. The world outside has a huge vibrancy, which wasn't there before. I connect with people easier. I went out on Saturday with a whole group of people I didn't know on an e-cycling tour through the West Coast National Park to see the flowers. It's not something I would have done before because my social anxiety would have been so huge that I would have thought, what am I going to talk to these people about? And it was completely natural. It was so wonderful to be out in nature and to connect with people. So the journey continues in a more spiritual and profound way. And I'm very thankful for connecting with Monica through friends. And I've been thinking about doing Soma for a while. And so the connections happen. You talked about earlier on, Anton, that when the time is right, it'll be right. And I think that's been very much part of my journey. So I'm looking forward to whatever comes next.
Thank you, Kerry.
So I don't have much to say either. That's how you said, you don't have much profound to say, Kerry, but then you say such beautiful things anyway. Anyway, it was such a pleasure to see all of you this evening and to share this evening with you. And Andre, thank you for all your questions. It was very useful having someone who actually has all those questions to ask. Thank you so much.
And any last words? I'm not going to end the meeting, but I'm going to ask Monica if there's any last words in the darkness of not knowing what we've spoken about. If there's anything you'd like to add from your side.
I do have something in mind that I'd actually planned to say when I thought I was going to be here, that I think is quite important for people, especially first timers or new people new in working with mushrooms, need to know. And that is that this topic that we're talking about here is huge. You can go in every direction. And there are wide open landscapes of new information, new understanding. So what little thing we talk about in one Zoom meeting is a sliver of what is available. And the more you keep your minds open to all the possibilities that lie when you follow this path that is being guided by from another dimension, not from another human being, but another dimension, you have no idea where it's going to take you. In the years ahead, not just on one journey on one Saturday night, it's going to go all over the place. And it's up to you. Am I talking to people here going to be, I'm not sure who's even here. Am I just talking to watchers? Or but I'm talking to the people who are starting out to work with mushrooms. If it means enough to you, if it lights a fire inside you when you experience, especially the first time, that this is something absolutely unique and special, and you embrace that, you're on a journey like you can't imagine, and you're going to make friends like you never imagined. You're going to meet the most interesting things. You're going to learn stuff you never thought about even, as the whole world starts to open up. Through making it a part of your life, that this is, I'm tempted to say a bit like a church, but it's not like a church at all, because you don't go to church every Sunday. It's not like that. It's about walking on a path that just endlessly opens up. The more you walk, the bigger it gets, and the more beautiful and the more inspiring and wise it gets. And all the time within yourselves, you are changing too, into something you never thought you would ever be. And in that respect, I think I'm a shining example of coming out of being a good Christian girl, regular churchgoer, Bible study, the works, I never planned to be an astrologer who does mushroom journeys. It was not in my domain of thought even. And yet what a marvelous thing to do when you reach my age. I couldn't have it better. I couldn't have it. I think I'm the luckiest old lady on the earth, not even in South Africa, because I discovered mushrooms. So, I mean, this is not a sales talk because it's all up to you. We don't care whether people come once and we never see them again. We don't care if they book with us and they don't even arrive. What we care is that you follow your own heart and follow it that way, because it's going to take you on something you can't imagine now. And we don't have membership things that you have to do. We're not trying to convert anybody. We're just sharing what we have discovered. And we carry on regardless.
That's such a wonderful message, Monica, that profoundly sums up what you missed in the last 2 hours. I think it's...
You didn't need me.
We needed you to put the cherry on top and to sum up so beautifully. Roger, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think it, to some extent it also goes back and it answers what Andre was asking earlier on. We was referring to the black clothes and why we wear the black clothes. There's nothing religious about this at all. But hell, it's deeply spiritual. If you understand the word spiritual, it's a deeply spiritual experience.
I would like to correct Andre. Is Andre not here? We don't wear black clothes. We wear dark colors. Dark green, dark blue, might be black. A lot of people choose black. I like wearing black, so I often do. But it's dark colors, so that we're not catching your attention all the time. We don't wear jewelry and clinky clanky stuff and shiny stuff at all, because we want to be invisible so that you are free to experience the journey fully without being interrupted by our comings and goings in the night.
Thank you, Monica.
And also, it looks like Andre isn't here, so I was speaking to the converted probably.
I understand it as such. Thank you so much for confirming that.
Who was that? Andre. Oh, you are here, Andre. You're the one with the diagram.
There we go. And Rodianne had a chance to answer that question beautifully as well. So he's had a double verification. Does anybody else have any questions? Anything else they'd like to add? No. First of all, I'm going to end the recording. Thank you. Let's stop that.